It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Booyah! Welcome everybody to Money for Lunch. Man, it's good to have you here. Listen, if you want some useful, entertaining information, go to my YouTube channel. Check out my new episode of The Dirt with Bert. I'm covering the dirt on advertising, how to make an ad work, make you money, make you sales so you don't lose money, all that stuff. Check it out, The Dirt with Bert on YouTube. It's a lot of fun, and I think you'll enjoy it. Also, just hanging out here with some big shots. If you're a fan of the Expendable movies, I'm going to be hanging out tonight with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Randy Couture, Dolph Lundgren, and possibly Sly Stallone, Mr. Sylvester Stallone, at Arnold Schwarzenegger's fundraiser. We're raising some money for a very good cause. It's the After School All-Stars, and this is something that we do every year in Columbus, Ohio. So if you happen to be in Columbus, Ohio, hit me up. Let's see if we can meet, maybe, I don't know, grab a cup of coffee, a Coke, some water. That's what I'm going to be doing tonight, man. I'm just going to be hanging out Hollywood style. Sylvester Stallone probably won't be there, but, you know, you never know. But at least we get three out of the, I don't know, how many are there, 9 or 10 Expendables? We get three of them, so it's not going to be too bad of a deal. It's going to be a lot of fun, and like I said, we raise a lot of awareness and a lot of money for the kids, which is ideally the most important thing. So for you guys who don't know this, Arnold Schwarzenegger started this charity about 20-something years ago, and he's also got another charity that about environmental protection. Kind of makes him an odd duck in the Republican Party for those who keep up with politics. Anyway, I'm hoping to visit tonight with presidential hopeful John Kasich. He's going to be out and about in Columbus, and it's going to be a lot of fun to catch up with him and the First Lady. So, having said that, what are you doing this weekend? What are you going to be hanging out? Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Let's connect. Let's touch. Let's see what you're doing. Let's get this party started with my first guest, Therese Skelly, known as the business healer. Therese Skelly, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert, I'm glad to be here. I love the title, like Money for Lunch. I love the title of your show here.
Absolutely. Well, look at here. I mean, we have the business healer blends her psychotherapy background and business strategy expertise into zero in on clearing money mindset and marketing blocks. I love that. So welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
You bet. All right. So let's talk about this. Why is it important to put our personality into our business?
Great question. And, you know, I think if you look at you, your brand is very much your personality. Like I've been listening for like 4 minutes. I'm like, this dude is cool because you're sharing what you're doing, who you are. You didn't come with some like pre-canned wah, 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 wah kind of a thing, right? And so I think of those of us who, you know, I work with people that are service providers, like we're selling ourselves as a solution. It's particularly important to be somebody that someone can connect with. And what my huge question is, okay, if there were like 100 of you and your competitors in the room, why should somebody pick you? And it's really not what you think it is, right? Because people are going to say, well, I have this training and I have this credential and I went to this school or, you know, I take a sliding scale or I work on Saturdays. And it's like nobody gives a crap about that, really. They do at some point. You know, they want to know that you're skilled, but really they want to know, like, oh my God, like for example, I'm sitting here listening to you. I don't even know you. We've never talked. We have a mutual friend, right? And I'm like, wow, this guy has a heart. This guy's contributing to charity. This guy is out there. He's a hustler. He's hustling for good. Like, I'm already making impressions based on the seemingly non-businessy things you're telling me. You're already informing, like, he's a person that I would think is up to good things, because as opposed to, most people are so afraid to share their real self. I'm not saying you have to share, like, oh, my God, I'm going through a messy divorce, and, you know, the ex is a jerk. Like, you don't have to share that stuff, but you have to share things that somebody out there can say, oh, my, you know, I relate to you. I think you could be the one that could help me.
Right.
But I'm sure you've got lots to say about that, because you're loaded with personality in your business, I can tell. But.
Well, you know what? It's so funny that you bring this up, because in the very beginning, when I was a public speaker and I was putting myself out there, I was very much the robotic, canned individual.
Yes.
You know, it would take me a week to put out an email or to put out a tweet. Literally, it would take me 2 or 3 days because I was trying to be the perfect, spontaneous, know-it-all, right? the perfect guru, full of wisdom, no fault, and it's exhausting, first of all, and it's unrealistic. And I was blessed to interview Dr. Joe Vitale. This is back in Houston, Texas, and him and I hit it off. We became friends, and he invited me to come to his house, and I hung out with him, and him and I became really good friends, and he would share his personal crap. He would share his ups, his downs, his mistakes. And so I started realizing, wow, people still love him and still people follow him, even though he makes mistakes and he's flawed and all this other stuff. And then you look at Oprah. Oprah, to me, is a great example of just being real, like being transparent. Hey, I've lost weight. I've gained weight. I'm dating dead men. I'm kind of not. I'm over here. I'm over there. And she takes you through her journey, and you love her for it.
Yeah, but I think when we start, you know, when I jumped out and, you know, decided to become my own business, my first set of pictures were taken in a black suit. Now, if you know me for like more than 4 seconds, you're like, oh, you are so not a black suit girl, right? But I had this impression that, like, I thought I guess I was being a banker or something. You know what I mean? It's like that lives in the, like there's this like corporate structure that we all buy into. You have to wear a suit. You have to work 9 to 5. You have to. And it's not true. And so a lot of the work I do with people is peeling away the stuff that they've taken on. Like, you always have to look perfect, act perfect. And I found, seriously, the more real I am, yeah, I might offend somebody because I swear, but then I have people say, oh, my God, I'm totally hiring you because you swear. You know what I mean? So the more real, your people can find you. Like, that's the thing, because you want to work. Like, when you were trying to be that perfect guy, it was like, okay, yeah, he's saying the right words, but where is he? Where is he in there? You know, because anybody can say the words. And so that's the deal. When somebody comes to me, I look at their website and I say, okay, where are you? I'm going to go to your about page. I want to hear you. I want to see your story. I want to feel you. And if you're not in there, that's the problem. You are not attracting people because your personality is not in there. That's my platform today.
Well, you know what? And I think it's a great platform because it does take time to really, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of trust your own voice, right?
Exactly.
And you put yourself out there, and you're waiting for people to pounce all over you and say, oh, look at you, look at all your mistakes, you're so flawed. And then what happens, you put yourself out there, and it's crickets. Nobody cares.
I know.
You might have somebody says, hey, I'm going through the same thing, you know, whatever. And we all go through this thing, and then we realize, oh, wow, it is perfectly okay to be human. And you know what? It's interesting to me. I think the biggest lesson that I've learned from politicians is that they are great about putting themselves out there. They're also great about trying to be this perfect, unflawed individual. And then when they make this big mistake, which you know they all do sooner or later, you know they get caught with this big mistake or this massive character flaw. And once they admit it, it's like, you know, we've hit the reset. Okay, now that we see that you're human, you reset it. We're going to trust you a little bit more. We're going to forgive you, and then we're going to, you know, we'll give you another chance. I guess is a better way. You know, we're going to forgive you and give you another chance. And I think that, you know, if a politician can be, I guess for lack of better terms, followed and forgiven and whatever, I think us writer, speaker, business people can too. It's just, again, it's just trusting that when you put yourself out there, it's going to come back to you, and it always does.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about why is it that this level of being authentic scares people? Because, again, you and I both talked about how we put on our facade. So what, what is it that we're afraid of?
You know, let's go back a little bit. Part of, you know, I used to be a psychotherapist, and so I bring in a great understanding of what stops people. And what most people do, Bert, is they say, "Oh, I just need more social media. That's what I'll do. Oh, I just need a better website. Or I need a logo." Everybody loves and wants to focus on the outer game pieces. It's easy. It's sexy. I used to say, "Why couldn't I have been blessed with teaching copywriting? Gosh darn it! You know what I mean? Like that's easy to sell." But what really, you want to know the real? Really, it's called shame. There's a little part of us that's like, oh, my gosh, if I step in and I say this, I'm not going to be good enough. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be liked. I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be rejected. Now, for some people, when I say that, they're like, oh my God, you totally nailed me. And other people say, I don't believe that. And I'm like, yeah, right. Like, oh, that perfectionism stuff, that's what that is, right? So some people really understand. There's a part of me that's afraid. Like, I'll give an example. I was just at this last weekend, I was in California with my business mastermind, and everybody in the room is six figures, multiple six figures, and many of us are looking to do something new in our business. Like, this is the first time I've ever publicly said, I am the business healer, right? That's kind of edgy. And I'm standing in front of the room of these six and multiple six-figure business owners crying, going, but they might think it's weird. I mean, like, and there was like three or four other people that were like, oh, my God, I want to say, no, these are multiple six-figure business owners. These are not newbies. These guys are established. And even at every level you're at, even at the higher levels, people are like, really? Can I really say this? Can I really claim this and own this part of me? Can I, like, wow, can I really drop that part of my business and just say, what? And it's scary as heck. It's terrifying. So it's easy to stay safe. It's easy to kind of like, oh, I just do marketing. Yeah. You know what I mean? To come up and say, no, I'm a business healer. We heal you and we heal your business. Boom. Like, that's taken me 5 years to say. So it's the fear factor because we're afraid.
Yes. You know what? And it's interesting. It's always some fear. You may language it different. I don't have enough time.
Yeah,
no,
exactly. It's
whatever.
All fair.
You know, that book's already been written, whatever. So
exactly.
You may language it differently, but ultimately it's all fear-based, right? I'm afraid I'm not good enough. I'm afraid I have, you know, I'm embarrassed. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it, whatever. That's ultimately really what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And we get, you know, we call it, the minute we're able to turn off that fear, or not even turn it off, we can't turn it off. Once we're able to ignore that fear and do it anyway,
right.
Then
that's it, yeah.
That voice, that's when that fear kind of stops a little bit or gets quieter. If you do it enough time, I think that fear voice finally goes away, and it leads to the point where you don't care. All right. So
yeah, that's really the work. The work I do with people is the mindset.
Hold on one second. Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with Therese Kelly, the business healer, right
after this.
Welcome
back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio. Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. We're talking with the business healer, Therese Kelly.
Kelly, yeah, with an S.
Kelly,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And And I want to do a quick shout out to our mutual friend Sheila Kennedy and the book that kind of brought us together, Choices to Change, which happens to deal with some of this fear voice and some of the stuff that holds us back, right? And so the book is called Choices to Change, available on Amazon or wherever good books are sold. Let's talk about this. Back to, we start talking about the personality in your business. Some people will say, well, you know what, I want a private life. I want to have, I don't want to be the face of my business. What do you say to people like that?
There's a part of me that is always honoring of people's values. Like, I don't want to share. You know, sometimes people are more introverted or they don't want to share and to do it that way. But you got to share something. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, I watched that movie on Facebook. You know, you don't have to be that out there. But there has to be enough of you out there. And it could be enough of you out there is, I'm really private and I hate this crap. I hate that I'm supposed to share right now. Like, that's okay too. Because there's, you want people to understand enough of you that they can say, oh, she's my people. Like, wow, I get that. Me too. I hate that I have to share. Because, I mean, if you just try to be like hide behind the wall and just throw up your credentials, like, again, think about if there's 100 of your competitors in a room and your prospective buyers are scanning going, who do I choose? Like, okay, God, y'all do the same thing. You say the same thing. Your prices are, you know, maybe around the same. Like, I work with acupuncturists a lot, right? So they all charge $75 a session. And they're all doing the same thing. And I'm like, how do I choose? Think about your consumer. Now, if the acupuncturist in the corner is going, you know, I love hiking. I rock climb and I eat vegan. But I'm like, that's fascinating to me. I eat beef, so I'm not going to hire you. You know what I mean? But at least I know something. Or if I have a person in the corner that's like, I'm an acupuncturist, but I love to sing and play the guitar. I also love to sing and play the guitar. So you don't have to share the deep, dark, you know, I was sexually abused as a child and my daddy beat me. You don't have to share that stuff. But share something that makes me, if there's 100 of you, go, oh, I like that person's vibe, or they're hot. Like, especially for women buyers, women are, I think, more relational. They make choices based on she would relate. He could understand me. Oh, yeah, we got that same thing happening. Oh, I could trust. Oh, yeah, yeah. So if you don't have that data in your about stuff, how do people choose? And they're going to fall off. They won't stick because there's nothing to grab. Did that answer your question? So you don't have to share a lot, but you got to share stuff.
Well, you know what, and I want to point this out. Let's look at Geico. You know, Geico has a little personality in the guise of a gecko, right? The gecko Geico. And so I'm bringing this up because if you have the marketing muscle to create a persona, like Geico has done, or some of these other big brands have done, then you can do that. And it really comes down to what is your business about. If you're in a service industry, a coaching industry, a consulting industry, you're a doctor, a lawyer, a psychiatrist, then personality is going to be important because you are the product.
You are it, right? The product, yeah.
Now, if you're selling widgets or life insurance or whatever, then you could create a different persona. You could, your story is going to be different. But I wanted to just kind of make that distinction.
Thank you.
You know, because it really all depends on what ultimately, as you mentioned earlier, who is your ideal client? How do you reach them? How do you connect with them? Hey, let's talk about this because we only got about a minute. I really wanted to. We started talking about fear, and I wanted to get your tips on mindset because, you know, really fear or lack of fear, confidence, things of this nature is all mindset related. Business is all mindset related. Fitness is all mindset related. Relationships is a mindset. Give us maybe one or two of your favorite or top mindset tips.
Absolutely, yeah. So my favorite one is the barking dog analogy. So if you're a dog owner and somebody comes to your door, probably the dog's going to start barking, right? And all you do as a dog owner is you say, what? Shh, go lay down. I got it.
Yeah.
because the dog is wired to alert. That's his function. Dog, like somebody's on the street, somebody's outside, it's like, rah, 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 right? That's the dog's job. It doesn't change your behavior. You're not running out the back door. You're not hiding in the closet. You're like, shh, go lay down. I got it. Imagine if you could do that every time you heard a little fear thought. And what I have my clients do, I say, think of a dog. Like for me, I would have a pit bull because that's my favorite. Some people want to have a golden. Some people like little chihuahuas. But think of every time you hear a little voice that says, really, you? You can't do that. You can't charge that. Who do you think you are? You just hear, rah, 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 rah. You hear a dog and you say, how adorable. You're just doing your job. Now go lay down. I got this. And just that reframe, one little reframe, people were like, cool, then you know how to dance with it. Because the work here is, like you said, you can never not have the fear. Work is to not be collapsing in the fear. Just be like, huh, okay, there's some fear, there's some voices, let's figure out how to keep moving through this. That's the work.
Yes, absolutely. I love that analogy. What a great analogy. It's the, again, there's a reason for the fear popping up or the dog barking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it real? Is it something that you have to listen to? Or is it just simply, shh, I got this, don't worry about it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I love that analogy. Therese, we're out of time. I'd love to bring you back and talk more about mindset and collapsing
Let's do it. This has been fun.
And have some more fun.
Okay.
Thank you so
Take
much.
Take care.
Bye. Good stuff there from Therese Skelly. And I believe her website is therese.skelly.com. I should have mentioned that. So happyinbusiness.com. I'm sorry, happyinbusiness.com, a delightful website name, very memorable. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be joined by Sean Matthew Whitfield right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. Speaking of technical difficulties, my next guest, Sean Matthew Whitfield. Last time we were on the show together, we had a little technical hiccup. Can't remember, don't know if it was his end or our end. It happens. That's just the price you pay with technology and doing a live show. Sean Matthew Whitfield, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it, Bert.
You bet, you bet. Now, let's talk a little bit. I want to give everybody a proper intro. You co-founded a company called Vision Force Marketing. You're certified in strategic intervention coaching by Robbins Maddens. Yeah, Maddens.
Yep.
Training
yeah,
and neuro-linguistic programs, programming. Prior to owning your own business, he worked for top global entrepreneur Tony Robbins. I don't know if I've ever heard of that guy. Who is that guy? No, I'm just kidding. Tony Robbins, one of the things I appreciate about Tony Robbins, he was here in Phoenix not too long ago, and I got to go backstage and hang out with him. And this is a guy who is fairly successful. I mean, he is almost known by everybody. I'm always amazed when somebody says, oh, I've never heard of Tony Robbins. It blows me away. But, you know, we were joking around about marketing and branding, and he talked. He kind of made a little joke about, the fact that he has the longest running infomercial. You know, his infomercials have been nonstop for like 30 something years, and that people forget because they go from an infomercial to an audio recording or a video series, and then they see him. You know, and then they go to a book or a live event, and they forget that's is the connection, right? That he started selling tapes on TV late night. But anyway, my point being, he's a big brand and he still kind of pokes fun at himself. And that's really good that you don't, you know, that when you can see, quote, really successful people kind of not take themselves so seriously. So anyway, Sean, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, and that was an honor. I mean, working for that company and talk about a world-class education. I mean, wow. So it was an honor and privilege. I worked underneath the CEO by Rich Cohen and just learned so much. Everything I thought I knew about business, you know, I was in the MRI industry at a successful I was marketing with MRI River North downtown Chicago. So I had, like, taken it up a whole nother level, and I remember drawing my line in the sand saying, you know what, I'm not doing anything. I want to do what I want to do. And I remember doing that at a Tony Robbins event and then stepping through the other side and going, you know what, I'm going to open up my own business. I'm going to go work for Tony. He didn't know it at the time, and I just made that, you know, you make things happen. And so, you know, it's just been awesome having that experience. But, you know, now taking what I've learned from that, and then, you know, it's kind of crazy because you got all the leads coming in. You don't have to worry about anything, you know, when you're with Tony, because the guy's a mastermind when it comes to generating leads. To go, you know, I'm going to leave this environment making all this money, and I'm going to go do this on my own is kind of crazy. But my wife had already kind of ventured off starting the marketing company, and then we're like, hey, we need to bring this coaching aspect to it because we're building out 12-month marketing plans, and we need to start getting people results because it's not enough to have a plan. There's a plan for everything in life, right? There's a plan for weight loss. There's a plan for your business. But again, it all comes down to implementation. And if you're not implementing it, what are you really doing? And it's all based out of, a lot of it's based out of fear is what we see with the small businesses. They're overwhelmed as well.
Sure, absolutely. Look, you know, first of all, two things. It's got to be fearful to leave something as, as dependable as working for a company like Tony Robbins, who's got the leads coming in, and you know what you're doing, and you know what to expect. Now you're going to venture on your own, and you don't have that net there to, you know, to support you.
That's right.
And then the other thing that you just said, I want to kind of emphasize this little thing that you put out there. You said this thing called a 12-month marketing plan. Hello, how many people have a 12-month marketing plan, a 6-month marketing plan, a 30-day marketing plan, right?
Hey,
I mean, a marketing plan.
Bert, check this out. 5%, Bert, 5% of companies have a marketing plan. And, you know, and this is the myth, is that companies think, because my wife worked for, you know, a $4 billion company. Of course, they have a marketing plan in place. But small businesses think that they don't need to have this plan in place, and it's absolutely crucial. And whatever budget you have to have some type of plan in place. And if you don't, what are you really? Clarity's power, right?
Yes.
So if we don't have clarity, where are we going? What's the direction? And see, what happens is most people, a guy walks in and says, hey, I got an ad for 50% off. They walk into the, you know, they walk into that situation. They buy it. They're reactive. Then, you know, the three things that we find is that they have the wrong message and the wrong audience, right, if they're a newer entrepreneur. Or they have the wrong message in front of the right audience, right? I mean, and this is more of a mature company. We work with a $10 million company that's trying to get to $15 million. You know, it seems like every $5 million, there's like a, you know, going from a million to 5 million, 5 million to 10, there's usually, people are usually hungry and they're trying to get past, and that's when we called in, is to get them past the plateau. But the smaller companies, smaller businesses, like we do smaller workshops for our local community, for people that can't afford a big marketing plan. So what we do is we go and we're actually doing a workshop here shortly to help them get this strategy in place, because we want to educate people. It's about serving the community too. And it's not just about selling our product all the time. It's about what are you doing for your local community to get everybody going up the ladder, right? So, you know, but these are the things that we find. And you know, just driving that clarity for people and then having an action plan to actually step-by-step to go through that process, whether you get a positive result or negative, at least you know not to do it again, you know? So, but most people, they just get caught in overwhelm and procrastination because they're trying to make it perfect, you know? And that's what we see a lot of, you know? It's based all, again, in fear. Procrastination is really fear, right?
Well, that's right. So, I mean, here's what's so funny is you know, again, we might language it differently, but it's all fear. I don't have enough time. I'm too old. I'm too young. Nobody knows me. Everybody knows I made a big mistake. You know, any kind of procrastination is fear. I mean,
it's an amazing thing. And what they do is they'll stack their story and they'll back it up so good. And, you know, I'll do this a lot in my coaching sessions, is when I'm with a company and we're trying to get them to the next level, they'll come four or five different ways with the same freaking story that they had before. And I'm like, listen. And then I get them to recognize it. And then, you know, because that self-awareness is such a big deal, and they're too close to it, they usually can't see it. So
right.
When you start to draw this out, they go, you know, and it's simple, man. It's like, you know, Tony always says, it's a 2-millimeter shift. It's the truth. You have these little shifts that you can make in life that make all the difference in the world, you know,
yeah.
And getting people past that just to see themselves. And listen, we have some people, we give them a marketing plan, Bert, and what happens is they're afraid to do the coaching part. I mean, we see people like that all the time that get, you know, they get scared when they have to start to self-analyze themselves. So, you know, when we go in, we fully make our customers and our clients aware that this is going to be an uncomfortable process. But that's where the magic lies. I mean, this is uncomfortable for me, if I could be completely honest with you. There's a lot of other things I'd rather do than put my voice over the radio. I think I got a terrible sounding voice. Now, that might not be true, but this is the same conversation that I have with myself that I know that every business owner has. But again,
sure.
It's about seeing that fear and stepping into it and overcoming it. That's what it's about, man. That's where the spice of life is, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That you know, and I want to kind of just, spend a couple of minutes here. This is really where we get all the juice and growth out of life. Look, we, meaning us humans, can do hard and scary things. And the only time we ever up-level is when we accomplish something that's hard and scary. Asking a girl out, for us guys, that is typically a hard and scary thing. Asking a woman to marry us, it's a hard and scary thing.
That's right.
When my wife said, let's have kids, what for? Honey, I don't have time. I'm not going to be a good father. I don't have a faith to be a father. You know, I mean, you know, fear, 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 fear. But now
right.
I have 5 kids. You know, having kids is a hard and scary thing. But when you review all the hard and scary things that we've gone through, you realize, man, this is the best parts of life.
Hey, so Bert, do you let the latest one, like, you know, the oldest one, he can play with matches, ride his bike without a helmet. I mean, he can do it all now, right? I mean, most of your fear is gone, right?
Well, you know, right? So it's so funny. Yeah. So for the most part, I tell you what's really cool. Speaking of my oldest one, my oldest boy, who's 28 years old, just discovered this guy named Tony Robbins.
That's cool. That's exciting.
Cool. And so, and it's interesting because about 7 or 8 years ago, I said to him, and he does not remember the conversation. I asked him about taking him to a Tony Robbins event because he has one, you know, in California, and you know, he had no interest. You know, it wasn't anything that he wanted to do. And it just goes
right.
to show you, you know, that we all grow at different levels. And so he had no use, no connection. To somebody like Tony Robbins 7 or 8 years ago, but this year he discovered him all on his own. It's like, how this Tony Robbins guy, I like him. He kind of knows what he's talking about. I said, yeah.
That's right.
You might want to check him out for a little bit longer.
Yeah. There's something real about him. Isn't that amazing? You know, and that's what, you know, that's really, I think, what I encourage people to do is just become the most real with yourself and really what you want. And see, until though, you know what? Here's the X factor to the marketing plan, to everything. It's to really to get yourself to get leverage on yourself. Because, and what I mean by that, some of us, we don't really, until we hit rock bottom, we never really get the launching pad to get off. Because I know when I was making $100,000 a year working for an MRI company, I was dabbling. We thought about opening up a business. We had a 3-to-5-year plan. But until you pull that, you know, you burn your boats, is to say, right? Or you just jump over. You're never really going to experience that true success, especially if you're dabbling. Dabbling doesn't get anything done. It's when you're put in the position that you got to make a house payment. You got to make something happen. You know, one of the things I went through in the interview process when I was working for Tony is, what leverage do you have on yourself? I'm like, hey, man, I got a kid. I got an 11-year-old kid. I've got a house. I've got a wife. I've got to make things happen. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is getting that ultimate leverage on yourself to get to that next level. But a lot of your fear goes away, you know.
Real quick,
segue. Go ahead.
Here. So, were you living in California? Did you have to work for him in California?
No. And this is the greatest thing. I think this is the greatest day and age to own a business or to operate a business, because you can work remotely. You can work from anywhere. You know, one of my closest friends' name was Tito Fernandez. I actually got to meet him. He was working out of Spain, so we would have phone calls and we would kind of motivate each other when we were going through the little down spots that you're going to hit when you're, you know, going through mass rejection. But that was one of the coolest things, to be able to work from anywhere in the world. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, marketing plans are amazing because you're able to put a marketing plan. You can execute it from anywhere. There's so many avenues. There's so many channels. And I think that's where the overwhelm comes in, you know, in just everything. I mean, there's so much that companies can look at now, you know, different angles and different avenues to take their business. And so, you know, that's what we help to really kind of get clarified. Is where they're going, what they really want to achieve, you know, and what path they need to be on, and then implementation part, which is the coaching, the boot and the butt, right?
The boot and the butt. I love it. The boot and the butt.
All right.
Hey, listen, Sean, we're out of time. I'd love to – what we're going to do is this. Since you and I have so much to talk about, and I really want to be able to help some of our business owners, what I'd love to do is schedule a time where maybe you'd come on and we'll talk for an extended period of time and maybe take some questions and help people with their marketing sticking points.
Yeah, man, for sure. If there's anything that we can help, you know, if you ever want to have my wife on, please, you know, we're here to serve as well. You know, it gets our name out there. But again, if we can help just a couple people get to that next level, it hires more people, it grows the economy. And that's the big vision of Vision Force, is to not just grow our company, but to grow other people's company, get them to the next level, help them own their space, you know?
I love it. Sean, Matthew Whitfield, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Bert. Have a wonderful afternoon, buddy.
You too. All right, good stuff there from Sean. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we come back. My dear friend, I say that because she's been on the show a couple of times, and I feel like I know her so well now, Forbes Riley. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things, including her multi-million-dollar success story, the Spin Gym, right after this.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess I'll be okay.
Ooh. I'm calling the studio, Matthew. You're not shooting today.
Just get some rest.
He bought it.
Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please?
Roderick. Roderick.
Life is packed with things you have to do.
But sometimes you gotta live a little.
Matthew, you poor thing. You sound awful.
How could I resist?
Look, I don't know what to tell you. He's sick. Actors get sick sometimes.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get going in the all-new CR-V from Honda.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All righty, folks. We are back. My next guest, Forbes Riley. And Forbes Riley repeats this phrase frequently. She continues to turn her dreams into reality time and time again. An author and award-winning television personality, entrepreneur, creator of the Spin Gym fitness sensation, Forbes is one of the most sought-after female keynote speakers in the country. As a motivator, role model, she has a unique connection with her audience that stems from her own personal journey. Forbes Riley, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Well, you know what? I love having lunch with you. And Money for Lunch sounds like a great idea.
Well, you know what? I mean, think about it. You're an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. If we were to get together for lunch, sooner or later, business, i.e. money, would come into that conversation because we're creative and we're always thinking about solving problems.
Well, actually, I'll share something very funny with you, and I know you've never had lunch with me, but you will, and it's fun. I just sent you my Spin Gym. Well, a very funny thing happens, and everyone should listen to this because people are like, well, I don't know how to make money. I always carry a couple of Spin Gym, the entire kit, in my purse with me because it doesn't weigh very much. invariably the people next to me at the table will buy a Spin Gym, the waiter will buy a Spin Gym, and by the time I've left with lunch, I may have sold enough Spin Gyms to pay for lunch and maybe a hotel room later.
I love that. That's
smile.
Awesome.
Well, it is kind of funny that you really can. And it's a funny phenomenon for people who've shadowed me or spent time in my life, and I take young people all the time. I have people buy Spin Gyms in the ladies' room. It is the most unique product. No, it's crazy. I turned to a woman the other day, true story, I'm in New York at a meeting, and this woman, and I looked at her, and she just looked a little tired, and I said something, and she said, well, what is it you do? I said, well, and I'm all about the pitch, by the way, and that's the big thing I'm going to leave you with today. I said, I've created the greatest fitness product on the planet. And then she said, what is it? And of course she said that. I took it out of my purse. We're standing by the sink. And I put it in her hands. I made her do it. And she said, oh, my God, I need this. To which I said, every woman needs this. Every man should get this for their bellies, for their back, for their posture. And there I am collecting money in the ladies' room. Who does that?
Well, I'm not going to go into who does that, but certainly, let's say most entrepreneurs don't do that, right?
Okay, my favorite one though, my favorite one, naked in the sauna. Now that one, I don't know anybody can ever beat that.
I love it. You know what? And this device, you guys can go to spingym.com and see it there. This is a very simple device. It's easy to pick up. But what makes it so nice is that, for instance, if you travel, if you're going to be in a car for an extended period of time, if you're going to, and by when I say in the car, not, you know, being a passenger, not a driver, but if you're going to be on a plane for an extended period of time, the Spin Gym is perfect because there's so many things that you can do with it. It's you mentioned posture. Right now, America has an epidemic of people with bad posture, bad necks, things of that nature. The Spin Gym is a great way to solve some of those issues and strengthen your neck, strengthen your core. What do you call it? Your rhomboids and your rear delts, all that can be, get a quick workout and get some of that stretching that we all need from being hunched over all day.
Well, you know, it's funny, you're beginning to sound like a fitness expert. Do you ever, you should write this one down or put this one, but I have a website that will show you all the different videos. If you go to forbesfactor.com/spingym/testimonials, and what you'll see there is just what you said. I Spin Gym in the cockpit of a 747. We Spin Gym in hospital beds. I've got people in wheelchairs. We have major classes. We've got celebrities. All of those videos are on that one page, or you can go to YouTube. They're all there as well, but it's easier at my Forbes Factor page. Because we really did create something, and if you're just listening to this and you can't visualize it, imagine this very colorful, handheld little product that you can actually get an amazing heart-pumping workout in less than 5 minutes. Now, what's crazy about this for your entrepreneurs to know, I didn't invent this. The Chinese did 2,000 years ago. And Bert, somebody put it in my hand. They were using it as a little office de-stressor. And I said, with my fitness background, I said, this is a major fitness product. You can do your arms. You can lose weight with this. You can use your core. And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about, but you are Forbes Riley. I said, so what does that mean? He said, look, I don't really want to do this business anymore. If you could sell 25,000 of these in the first year, I will give you my company. You give me a small percentage. And
wow.
So many times entrepreneurs don't know where to go for their next idea. I have a love and a passion for fitness. But I will tell you that I've devoted the last 5 years of my life to getting this product out. You can find it on Home Shopping. I'll be on Home Shopping all on the night of the 6th and all day on the 7th. And I can sell 10,000 of those in one day. So when any of your viewer, your listeners say, hey, I'd like to get to Home Shopping, or I'd like to know more about that, Bert, that's what one of my specialties has become, besides just promoting the fact that everybody should have a little more fitness in their life.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, bottom line, I think that fitness solves most of our problems. It's gonna solve the lower back problem. It's going to solve the indigestion problem or the digestive issues, because if you're working out, you tend to be regular. I'll just put it like that, or more regular. You know, fitness is the answer to so many of our issues. It's the
answer
for our
stress. Well, let's get real. It solves your sex life.
One,
you feel better and you look more attractive to your partner. No, but I'm actually very serious, because that is one of the things.
Because look. Especially for both men and women, when you work out, your hormones are at a peak they're producing more of those hormones that make you more sexual, right? You are more attractive. You have more energy. Absolutely. It's better than anything that you can take. If you're taking Viagra, if you're a man and you're taking Viagra, you need to consider the fact that your blood circulation isn't localized to one area. That's a symptom of a bigger problem, and fitness is the answer.
Wow, somehow this lunch conversation got a lot more detailed than I would have expected. So now, but I'll share something else. You guys were just talking about Tony Robbins. And Tony Robbins, who's a friend of mine, is one of the all-time great motivators in the world. But do you know, in all of his books and in his teachings, he also stresses health and fitness.
Yes.
And one of the products that I do on home shopping is a trampoline. He always has a trampoline off stage before he goes on stage. So his secret, as many of us, is if you're going to be a successful business person, you're going to be successful in life, you're going to have a successful relationship, your fitness plays a key level in that. And by the way, I'm not telling you to go to the gym. The gym is a lot of work. But I am telling you that if you start to look at the food that you eat and what you do workout-wise. So I got a couple. Can I give your audience a couple of free gifts?
Yes.
So one of them is if you go to – I have my own television studio, and I have a television series I do called Forbes Living TV. But if you go to ForbesRileyStudios.com/pitch – or go to the site and check pitch. I have a free ebook for everyone who's listening, and it's about 23 pages. It's pretty in-depth, and it's completely free. But you and I, and you're probably very good at this, know how to pitch an idea, a service, a new product. And one of the greatest gifts in life that I've been giving people, aside from helping them be a little fitter and healthier, is that when you've got a good idea, if you don't know how to pitch it, you don't get to go anywhere in life. And I'm not talking about selling. I'm talking about a pitch is a one-sided conversation created to get a yes. So if you want to get to your favorite movie, get to your favorite restaurant, or get $1 million in an investment, as long as you can get a yes, you've done a successful pitch. And that has been one of the things that I'm giving to people because I've been doing it on television forever. I've pitched more than $2 billion worth of product on television. Imagine what you could get if you could pitch better.
Right. No, absolutely. Look. So again, the website is ForbesRileyStudios.com/pitch.
And by the way, just go to the studio. I think you just may have to go to the pitch button. I'm not all that good with the whole web thing. So if you can't,
so
it's not slash pitch.
So if you go to ForbesRileyStudios.com, studios with with two S's, one at the beginning and one at the end, studios.com, and there is a pitch button. I'm there right now. Forbes Riley's Pitch Mastery 101. And then you can download the free ebook, and I totally believe in what you just said there. Look, you and I have a mutual friend, Kevin Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Harrington, Tony Robbins, Tony Little, Tony Horton, some of the biggest brands out there.
I'll start with the name Tony.
a lot of it just so happens. Maybe I'll change my name to Tony Martinez. No, anyway, but they all are great pitch people. They get you excited. They inspire you. They really get you excited about solving a problem. And so, being able to pitch somebody this one-sided conversation, if you are really going to grow your business, you need to learn how to do that. Because here's what a lot of people think about when they think of a pitch in this scenario. They think, well, I don't want to do an infomercial. Well, we're not talking about an infomercial. And Forbes, you correct me if I'm wrong. But if you're going to pitch to you have to be able to pitch, let's say, to a team to get them excited and on board. You got to pitch to your employees. Sometimes you got to pitch to your family. Pitch is a skill that is going to be used everywhere.
Yes, and it really does make a difference in your life. And it's fun and easy when you really know what it is, but it's painful. I get pitches all the time. You mentioned one of my business partners, Kevin Harrington, who was on Shark Tank. I take products also to infomercials. I've done 144 of them, and I'm on home shopping. Imagine, people pitch me products all the time. You know, one of the pitches was so bad over the phone that I put the phone on mute, went to the bathroom, came back, they were still talking. If you don't really understand, I'm not. So you've got the greatest product, and you don't know how to pitch it. It is painful to my heart. So read the book if you want more information. I love doing this. Kevin and I also teach pitching. It's one of those things that you don't even realize in business school that you needed to know. Isn't that funny?
Right. Oh, it is. It is. It is a. It is a. kind of a, it's one of those things that if you don't have, it's a skill that if you don't have, it really hinders your ability. Again, guys, boys and girls, think about if you're in a room and you're pitching investors, if you don't know how to pitch, you're going to walk out with no investors.
Well, but let me share something else with you. I actually think pitch starts with when you meet people. One of the biggest complaints, how do I get new leads? I said, you know what, when you go to a networking event or maybe even a social event, people see me on television, and one of the things they don't realize is I'm a bit of an introvert. And one of the things that means I get a little uncomfortable in parties and things, and it helps that I have my pitch down. It helps that I've got a spin gym with me. These little things that I do, I don't drink, so I feel that little kind of crazy edge. So let me ask you a question. When somebody says to you, and this is where your pitch starts, to you, Bert, what do you do? What do you tell them you do? They always ask that question.
Yeah, they do. They ask that question. So here's my pitch. I help small business. Let me back it up. So I, when they ask me that question, I start with a question that is, hey, Forbes, you know how a lot of small businesses struggle to make sales? And then I'm hoping for them to say yes or something like that, some kind of affirmative. Well, I help small businesses make more money by making more sales, and then I just shut up.
Well, see, and that's genius. And by the way, you're probably given the best that I've ever heard. So here's some examples of bad pitches. So one, somebody will say, so what do you do? And you ever hear somebody say, oh, my God, I do so many things.
Yeah.
Wait a second. They don't really care what you do. They care what you can do for them. It would really help you to get your pitch down. Then they'll say, I'm a vet. Well, and so what? But imagine, just like you did, start out with a little bit of a story saying, you know what, as a kid, I love taking care of animals, and now I get to live my dream. I'm a vet. Now I like this guy. Now I want to give him my cat and my dog. My girlfriend, when I taught this seminar the other day, and she said, I am an executive for Coke, and I have an organic skincare line. And I said to her, you must be a schizophrenic because you can't do both. And what did I mean by that? Well, you can't be with one of the biggest chemical companies and you're passionate about organic skincare. One of these is a lie. So unless somebody that you're talking to is going to hire you for Coke, I would never say that. I would simply say to the person I'm standing next to going, you know, I'm passionate about our health and our body. I created this amazing skincare line. That lets the next person say, wow, tell me about it.
Right.
So you don't give them your laundry list. You don't tell them boringly. You tell them to excite them so that you can enroll them into your world. I always come home from every trip with a stack of business cards. And my assistant will go, well, how do you get all these? I said, baby, every one of those is a person that I've talked to, that I like, that I want to do business with, that I maybe want to get my newsletter, I want to enroll, I want to know what that's what that represents to me. And to me, that's the best way that you get to do business on a very grassroots level.
Absolutely. And I want to take a second here and go back to the unsophisticated pitch that we have all heard. I do so many things. Well, what that means, and Forbes, again, you correct me if I'm wrong, when somebody tells you I do so many things, instantly that's a person I'm just crossed off my list. They don't do anything well. They're failing at multiple things is really what they're telling you.
They tell you that, don't they?
Yes. You know, they don't have two nickels to scratch together. They just, guys, we cannot do a lot of things and do them well. And you have to be really good at one thing. And, Microsoft, I had a chance to sit down with one of the VPs of Microsoft. And Microsoft, here they are. At this point, when I did this sit down at a special dinner, it was like 10, 12 years ago, maybe longer. And he says, and we really got into a great conversation. And he talked about, look, right now we dominated the software space, right? They had like a 90 percentile type of penetration, and so they had launched a few years earlier. They had launched Hotmail. And they were losing tons of money on Hotmail, but guess what? They could afford to because they had so successfully conquered their first space. And then they came out with Xbox, and he told me they're losing tons of money on Xbox now, but again, they could afford to because they had they literally, at this point in Microsoft's existence, this gentleman explained to me, again, he's one of the executive vice presidents, that Microsoft had a department dedicated just to managing their cash, because they had billions of dollars in cash surplus, and they had a team dedicated to earning 2 to 5% return on their cash, not losing any of it. Their objective was not to lose any of their cash, but only to make small gains on it, conservative gains. And so they could afford to lose money at Hotmail. They could afford to lose money at Xbox in the short run because they were already so highly successful at their first endeavor, which took 20 years, 30 years to be that successful. So
you know,
that was kind
you're
of
right.
My,
it,
my,
well, it's fascinating when you listen to people speak. They will tell you everything in the first few minutes, and you get to be this little detective. When I meet somebody and they're clear in what they want to do, their eyes are bright, they're passionate, that's somebody I want to be around.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that we also talk about is if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, and you are the sum of the close of the five closest people to you. And so you look around, and one of the things that you're doing by listening to this podcast right now is you're feeding your brain. You're growing your need to be an entrepreneur, to be associated with better people, say, hey, there's great workshops out there, there's new products out there. This is more advantageous to you than listening to some news reporter talk about the GOP, whatever the debate is right now, yet again, because it doesn't much matter. There's all this fodder going on. There's all these people listening to news that doesn't much matter, instead of actually taking the time to feed their brain. And like I said, you feed your brain, you feed your body, and you take your whole life and existence to another level. And that level is amazing. I'm tired of seeing people who are saying, I'm depressed, I'm out of work, I'm on it. You know what? You make great choices, and what you focus on expands.
Yes.
So when you focus on greatness, getting your butt out of bed, moving your body, feeding it, and like I said, feeding your brain, fun, amazing things, and surrounding yourself with people who are also on a mission, like listening to this or like enrolling in a course with me or being around people who are so positive, you go, wow, I want to live my life. That's what Tony Robbins does too. I want to play this game at a much higher level. And if you don't know how, keep seeking it because it's out there.
Yes. Yes. You know what? And it's interesting too because we were talking about Tony, and one of the things that took me a long time to understand, and I think Tony does a great job of explaining it, is that the way we learn how to play at this bigger level is that we step out of our comfort zones, right? You mentioned that you're an introvert by nature and that, you know, and sometimes it's a little bit tough for you to come out there and step out. Here you are, you're a renowned TV personality. And so you're stepping out of your comfort zone on a regular basis, but that is giving you so much. I mean, if it wasn't for you stepping out, you would not have taken over the Spin Gym. You would not have sold Spin Gyms in the restroom. You would not be a keynote speaker that travels the world. You would not be all these things that you have become, but for your willingness to step out and be uncomfortable.
Well, I'll tell you what, and this is something everyone should really listen to. It's because of where my values lie. My values are more important to me than this thing about introvert. So one of my values is to contribute to other people's lives. I can't do that sitting in my house. I have great information. I've lived a very dynamic life that when I share some of it and I tell these stories, people go, wow, if she could do that, I can do this too. So I get myself up on stage and I get myself out there and I put out this product that I think Spin Gym is changing lives. When you've got that, then I'm not selling you something. I'm giving you something that you need so desperately. I happen to have it. I'm going to show it to you. And that's how I perceive what I'm doing. And so people always say, you know, if you don't want to work, you find something that you love and you never work a day in your life. I don't ever feel like I'm working. I feel like I'm on a passionate journey to communicate. I love people like you, Bert, and thank you for dedicating yourself and having a show like this to give us a platform. And that's what I crave that so much, that I'd like to leave the planet a little bit better one person at a time, and I seem to be doing that. By serving as an inspiration, and also being willing to share my flaws. It took a long time to talk about being an introvert, what that means, that, yeah, I'm uncomfortable at parties, and whatever it is, however I lead my life, it's a little odd. And people go, wow, you know, maybe you're not perfect, then I stand a chance at getting to my dream as well.
Yes. Yes, it's so funny because at the beginning of this show, we were talking about our imperfections and how our imperfections is what attract people to us. You know, you talk about your journey. I was mentioning, you know, one of the reasons that Oprah Winfrey is such a hero to so many people is because she was so open about her life, her childhood, her flaws. I've gained weight, I've lost weight, her love life with Stedman, all these things that we know about her because she is so transparent. And if she can do it, I can do it. Maybe I can, you know, take one more step because I'm more like her or whatever.
That is so true. And by the way, it's not easy to do that. It takes a lot of courage. But again, when your values, so, you know, you have to ask yourself, okay, so what are my top three values? And I'll ask people, and some people who are my actor friends will go, I want to be a star. That's my top value. And then I want, you know, then I have a lot of single moms or just family in general said they put their kids first. Don't do that. As much as you love your kids, they tell you to put your own mask on first before you put it on your children. And you might want to think that health is actually one of the most important values that people say, that's not even a value. I said it is when you're lying in the hospital. None of the other values matter at all. So between health and contribution, if you can understand for you in your life what those two values mean for you and what your rules are to make those things happen for you, you live a much better life. I said that to my son today on the way out the door. I've got two 13-year-old twins. And I simply said, Riker, I said, go do something nice for somebody else today. That will make your day in a way you can't imagine. And he's like, And I'm excited. I said, you got to tell me about it when you come home. Because when you start thinking about other people, your life is extraordinary. It's amazing what happens. You keep giving it away, and it keeps coming back. But that's not what people think about. They think, how can I get more from me? How can I, you know, that greed, that self-interest, that isn't going to help you get what you truly want.
Now, real quick, are these twin boys?
No, I have a daughter. I have McKenna and Riker. Got the best of both worlds. I get to see the yin and the yang of humanity.
Well, interestingly enough, now I'm really motivated to come out and visit with you because I happen to have twin girls who are 14, who are going to be 15 in April, and so they're already picking out their car, and, Dad, this is what I want, and I'm going, whatever car we don't want is the car you get. Stop picking stuff out.
I would love to have you come out to my house and my studio, and we'll come do an interview when you're out here. Because I think you're extraordinary.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited about you.
Well, thank you so much. And you know what? Let's see. What city are you in? I forgot.
St. Petersburg, Florida, surrounded by water. And here's another little treat. If you go to Facebook and go to Riley's Retreat, I actually have this beautiful condo complex that I bought. I take people there. We spin gym. We sit by the water. We went on a boat ride the other day. Riley's Retreat, just check it out. It's actually one of my little pride and joys on the white sandy beaches of Treasure Island, Florida.
Well, you know what? I'm going to – so I will make sure that we set something up. We are going to be doing an on-camera interview with Kevin Harrington, who's not too far –
He's my neighbor. He lives three blocks from me. Wait, when are you doing an on-camera thing with him?
You know what? I don't know. We haven't gotten a schedule to match up yet, but we're going to go out there, and so we'll put you on that list, and we'll get all together, and maybe we'll throw some kind of we'll make some big party out of it. It'll be a lot of fun.
We have to. Kevin's my partner. We teach pitching all around the. I mean, ask him that. Oh, that's so funny.
It is. In fact, I'm going to text him right now and say, "Hey, man, what do you think about Forbes Riley?"
Oh, I would love to. You can put that text on air because I'll tell you what. We'll see. But I'll tell you what. I love the man. I'm very excited by him. And in fact, if you go to Forbes Living TV and you'll see my little promo for my show, he's actually on the show. He's a huge fan, and I've actually known him for 20 years. Together, we've done about 10 infomercials.
Hey, I'm talking to Forbes right now.
And hey, is he on the phone?
No, I just text him, you know.
Oh, that's so,
so
funny. Well, together, and please don't hold either one of us responsible for this, but we actually gave Kim Kardashian her very first infomercial. I don't know if you know that.
What was it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, if you go to YouTube and type in Forbes Riley and Kim Kardashian, you'll see the infomercial where I introduce her. She'd never been on television before. I'd worked with Bruce on a project, and she was young, and she was organizing closets at the time. How crazy is that?
Right. Well, you know what? And that's what made her – she organized Paris's closet, and they became friends, right?
Yeah, she also organized Kevin Harrington's wife's closet. I know, it's
so,
crazy
right,
as it sounds.
Riley, Kim Kardashian, I got to see this.
it's hysterical. So Forbes Riley, Kim Kardashian in YouTube, and you will see me introduce my very good friend, as I say in the show.
Yes, Kim Kardashian.
But I take no responsibility. She was a great girl back then. So the other thing you should type in if you want to laugh, because I'm the queen of ingenuity, is years ago, since you're in YouTube right now, I was trying to rebuild my house and funds were short and whatever the deal was. I had the movie Die Hard explode my house. Get that? So if you go to Forbes Riley and type in Die Hard Explodes My Home, you'll see a tiny little movie that I made 9 years ago about how the movie blew up my house so I could afford to tear it down and build a new one. How crazy is that?
That's awesome. So walk me through this real quick. We're almost out of time here. So you needed to demolish your house, so you reached out to the studio and they said, yeah, we'll demolish your house for you. We're going to
Well, actually, what happened was my house was an old cinder block two bedroom house, and I had had kids, and so my architect said, hey, if you knock it down and build it out of wood, we can build you a bigger house, but it's $25,000 to knock your house down. I said, I don't have 25, and they don't give you a mortgage to knock a house down.
Right.
And then I said to him, why can't we just blow it up? He said, what do you mean? I said, I saw Mel Gibson blow up a house in a movie. I put it on the internet. I didn't know anybody. And 3 days later, knock, 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 the movie Die Hard says, hey, we'll give you $25,000 and we'll knock your house down. We'll blow it up, actually. And so I'm in the opening scene of Live Free or Die Harder. My house explodes to smithereens. And I shot it. It's on YouTube. You can see it.
So, and see, this is so smart. It just goes to show you, if you're a little creative, innovation and ingenuity, the things that you can solve. You know, it just goes to show you that here you have this thing that you need to demolish this house, and studios are always looking for stuff to blow up. What a great idea. That's just fantastic. You know,
crazy, isn't
it? There. It is. I love it. Listen, we're out of time. Love to have you back again. I'll let you know when we're out there filming with our mutual buddy, Kevin, and we'll do something together.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, my darling, and thanks to everybody listening. Just check out Forbes Riley. We'll see what we can keep doing here, building dreams.
All righty. I love it. Good stuff there from Forbes Riley and all her crazy antics, her ingenuity that keeps things happening. Think about that. You need something done that maybe somebody can do for you, and in this case, maybe even pay you to do it. How crazy, how out of sight is that? As always, we appreciate you coming here. I personally want to thank you for helping me grow this show, for being, my support, and for your show suggestions and for your ideas. Remember, you were created.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.